Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Hello, how you doing today? I hope I find you feeling healthy on this Thursday, October 14th, 2021. This is Dave here with Nate. Nate, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, Dave? We got playoff baseball, game five, all coming down to this between the two best teams. What's not to love about it? We're going to be watching that while we are on air with everybody, although I think it doesn't start for about another hour. But whatever, we'll make it work.
I'm pretty sure it starts,
it started
in the next couple of minutes. I've got it actually on here in the background, so if you hear me yelling anything, it is because my rooting interest tonight will be the Los Angeles Dodgers. Right? Just the same for you, right, Nate?
No, orange and black, baby. We root for laundry, so I got to at least cover the same color laundry, man.
You know what? That's quite a way to get there. I also
have my dad is a lifelong Giants fan, so I'm rooting for him for my dad too.
You know, my dad was a Dodgers fan for a while. He moved around the country a lot, and he had some periods where he was for the Cardinals and St. Louis and pretty much anything to do with Detroit at some point. Although I don't think he was really into the Lions or into the Tigers, but I do know he definitely has a soft spot for the Dodgers. And I will say this too, and I forgot to mention it to you earlier. The Dodgers manager, Dave Roberts, I don't know why, but there's something I kind of like about him as, I like about him as a manager. I mean, he's not the worst guy in the world. Now, one thing I just want to point out is, and I find it very interesting that the reliever Corey Knievel will start for the Dodgers tonight. Not Julio Urias. Now, I gotta ask you, man. And you know, normally we like to dive around, jump around a whole bunch of different things and do the scores, but you know, we've got this NLCS game starting literally in, you know, minutes. So speaking of starting, I just want to talk about the starter thing. I think it's kind of unusual. That we're basically seeing the Tampa Bay Rays opener strategy being played out right now. What do you think about that? The Dodgers starting a reliever in a winner-take-all.
I'm very surprised that the Dodgers are doing it just because of the arms that they can run out there. But I guess I kind of get it. You want to shut them down early. Don't let the Giants get anything going at home, although they are – it feels to me like a desperation play because I'm pretty sure Urias got knocked around last time they were out when it was Walker Buehler lost game one against Brandon Webb. But, Urias, he's fine. He's fine. It's just I totally think
I
that
think it's,
they're just
it's
struggling.
A jarring
I think it feels it feels like a desperation play. I think they don't trust their starter to do starter things, and I don't know why you wouldn't just roll with it and let it. Like you said, it's a do or die. Just freaking do it.
So Nate, you know, it's interesting. Let's just take a quick moment before we really see how the, you know what, forget it. I don't even want to talk about the AL side of the bracket. Who cares?
you got to do it. You got to acknowledge it.
I guess I'll say it first. The 2021 ALCS will be against the Astros and the Red Sox. And as a Yankee fan, I mean, this stinks of a the 2007 Patriots-Giants Super Bowl, I think more so than 2011. And I always think of, you know, what are the last two teams in the world I'd want to see in a World Series or Super Bowl? Well, when it comes to baseball, there really isn't anybody in the NL that I extremely dislike. I at this point, think most Yankee fans don't really hate Met fans. In the same way, I don't think Giant fans hate Jet fans too much because Jet fans are all depressed and crying in a corner somewhere. Whereas in this case, you know, Nate, this one is scary to me, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this too. I listen to New York talk radio a lot, and Michael Kay, who's the Yankees TV guy, said, "Oh, you know, of course Yankee fans are going to root for the Astros in the series because they all hate the Red Sox. It's just part of being a Yankee fan." And there's a young guy who actually hosts the morning show, Ebro in the Morning, and he said, "Nah, Michael Kay, you're wrong. The Yankee fans are going to be rooting for the Red Sox in this one." And I couldn't wrap my head around it. Now, Nate, you know, you know rivalries, and you understand that there was a time when, you know, in history, which was predates both of us, but where the Orioles absolutely had stretches of time where they were the Yankees' number one rival. It's not like it's always been one or the other, but, you know, growing up, to me, Yankees-Red Sox was a thing. It was just akin to, like, Duke, you know, Duke-North Carolina you know, even more than a Giants-Dodgers thing, which we're seeing grow right now. But Nate, does it shock you when I tell you that the callers who called in actually tended to say they were rooting more for the Red Sox than the Astros? Yankee fans?
Yeah, it does shock me a little bit to hear that there are Yankee fans that are actually, like, walking away from that rivalry. Although I said it, when was that? Well, it would have been last week where I said that I thought that the Giants and the Dodgers were the bigger rivalry than the Yankees and the Red Sox, because I just think I know the history of the rivalry. I get why it's a rivalry. I know everything that's going on, and it certainly hasn't died. But I kind of look at the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry the way that I look at the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry for college football, and maybe
ooh,
this is going to sound absolutely bananas. But it's just, it doesn't feel like it really matters anymore. Like, or at least it doesn't matter the way that it used to matter.
You know what? I think a good word for it would be dormant. It's
yeah,
not.
That's what it is.
And I can accept that. It's just weird hearing Yankee fans call up and curse the Astros more than the Red Sox. But I guess the cheating scandal is still fresh in everybody's mind. And everybody still, you know, Altuve is there, and Altuve is the face of the guy you hate. And I'm curious, Nate, I mean, you know, from a pure is this good for baseball standpoint, you have right now two teams that really got penalized the most. I mean, the Mets did lose their manager in the fallout of it, but the Red Sox and the Astros really were the two teams that took it the hardest through the whole, I don't know, adventure is the word I want to use, through the whole scandal. And here they are facing the ALCS. Do you think there's any edge on baseball's face having these two teams face off in such a big spot? Or do you think baseball's like, this is great because this is who people want to watch?
So I've read a couple of opinion pieces, or at least seen a couple of headlines in the last couple of days, and I do agree with it. Yes, the Astros cheated. Yes, they were the front and center of the whole scandal. Did they get punished as much as I wanted to see them punished? Probably not. Are they still literally that good? Yes. I think, like, it's one of those where they cheated, they got caught, but it's kind of like a Barry Bonds
if I may.
Syndrome. It's like, you are all – go ahead.
No, I was going to – actually, that's a great one. I was going to say, it's almost like, did Tom Brady need to deflate the footballs?
Right. Did Barry Bonds need to go on steroids? Like, you're already the best hitter that we've ever seen. Why are you doing this? You were already the best team in baseball. Why are you doing this? The team that annoys me the most out of this, I guess we can call it – I mean, what do we call it? Do we call it the trash can series, since Boston was doing the same thing like 2 or 3 years later? And it's all Alex Cora, really, is what it comes down to. But I hate that Boston basically got to walk away from it. Like, everybody forgets that Boston did the exact same thing and that Alex Cora was at front and center, and then he gets to just come right back and manage again. The Astros manager still is not – like, he's still not back in baseball. Like, he – I almost feel bad for him.
And I think
like
the GM,
Astros,
too, is
out. Yes. Lunho has not found a way back into baseball yet, which is annoying. Like, the Astros have clearly shown that, no, we actually are good without this. We didn't need the cheat. We just did it because we could get away with it, and we made it easier, even though we're that good. Boston, I'm not convinced that they could get there without cheating. And the fact that they're now, like, back in the ALCS 2 years later, and they got to just, like, walk away from it, I hate that. So, for the ALCS,
yeah.
I guess I'm rooting for Houston.
I'm rooting for both teams to somehow play 19 innings each night and everybody's arms to fall off, and that way whoever wins this Dodgers Giants game, which now is officially in the top of the first with the runner on already. I think the winner of this is your de facto champion, potentially. I don't know. I don't know if the Braves can really do what they need to do against either one of these teams. I think the Dodgers are a little more threatening, but the Giants have just shown you that they can do it. Now, look, if you're out west, I just want to take a quick step back, and you made a good point. You know, I do love thinking about these rivalries. You know, you've talked about how it's unfortunate that the Nationals and the Orioles don't really have, like, there's a lot of bunch of teams, and I think location has a lot to do with it. By the way, we've got Trey Turner up with, like, you know, a hockey glove on his batting hand, which just always cracks me up. But, you know, I think this Dodgers-Giants thing is great for baseball, but I'd really like to see the Padres make a big dent in there. I think there's potentially an era of a three-way rivalry, like I really dig it. I think it would be fun. Like, if the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Mets all sort of had something, somehow maybe threw the Phillies in there. You know, these hyper-local rivalries. And that goes back to something that you and I had talked about a few weeks ago about the way they're balancing the schedule. As, by the way, the Giants get out of the top of the first with a double play. So we're now heading to the bottom of the first. Giants coming up to bat. But, you know, we've talked a lot about the scheduling and how baseball can make it more interesting and accessible to younger fans. But, see, this game right here, this Giants-Dodgers game, is you have to think, how do you extrapolate the excitement from it? You'll have – whoever wins this game is going to go on and they're going to face the Braves, and that's going to be their focus. But whoever loses, you know, the very next day – they're going to wake up, and let's go with your side. Say the Giants win and the Dodgers lose. Tomorrow, the Giants are going to worry about the Braves, but the Dodgers are going to look at the Giants as that big enemy, the big brother, if I may, or whatever. They'll be the one on their mind next year. And I think baseball, you know, I made a point that I liked the lack of interleague play or decreasing the frequency of interleague play. And what you would do is take those interleague games that theoretically would happen next season, and you build more of the rivalry games like a Dodgers, Giants, and throw some Padres in there. And I know they play, you know, 18 or 19 times. Why not more? Why not give the, you know, it'd be great if they could find some way to balance these two where it happens. We see it happen a lot where you'll face a common opponent, you know, 13 times before the All-Star break and then, you know, only six afterwards, which would mean you get like two series in the back half of the season. You know, this is why I don't like analytics when it comes to putting together a schedule. It's something that's a shame. Because this is something you really need to build on. Now, Nate, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought for a second, because I think we just got somebody on the line who might want to share another opinion. Who we got on the line?
We have Lou from New Jersey. I've been here before, but it's been a while.
Oh, what's going on, Lou? Thanks for calling.
Welcome back, Lou.
I had some time tonight, so I thought I'd just check to see who was on. So, I thought I'd give a shot here.
Welcome, welcome. So what are you thinking? Are you, by the way, do you have the game on, the Dodgers-Giants game on?
No, actually, I don't. I actually have on the Tampa-Eagles game, and I have the Rangers game on. But I know this is going to be a very hard-fought game. I kind of feel, though, that, you know, I think the fans are being cheated because I really think they belong in the championship round series rather than just the division one. Because it's a shame to see two teams that were the best in the National League have to fight out in a wild card spot. You know, so I think the fans are feeling a little bit, you know, jaded.
So you're saying the fact that this sorry, I was going to say, Lou, so you think that this not being a game seven in an LCS situation takes some of the excitement or the luster away from it? That's kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, I think maybe some realignment should be in order, you know, because these two were the best teams in the league, and it's going to be kind of like, shall we say, wore down. Not taking anything away from Atlanta, but, you know, Atlanta was such in a weak division, and, you know, it kind of, you know, doesn't have the same grasp, I don't think.
You know, I don't disagree with you there.
Right.
Go ahead, Nate.
And Lou, I actually love that you bring this up because I was chatting about this with a couple of friends the other day. This particular series is a perfect example of why not only Major League Baseball but every other sport needs to start reseeding as you move through the playoffs.
Yes.
Because so, like, you have the Dodgers who didn't win the division, so they go to the wild card, but they have 100 – what they finished with, 105 wins to 106 wins for the Giants or whatever it was? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So these two teams, everybody knows these are the two best teams in baseball. They're in the same league. They're both National League franchises. So obviously they can't meet for the World Series trophy, which that's fine. I'm okay. I don't necessarily want to realign American League, National League to get to that point. But these should be the two teams that decide who goes to the World Series. I love that the National Hockey League reseeds as you move through the playoffs, where the worst remaining record goes up against the best remaining record. And not even necessarily the best remaining record. Like, you know, since the Dodgers didn't win their division, maybe they don't get the benefit of – they don't get to go from, like, 7-1 since the Giants did win their division, but like make the Dodgers and the two seed as they move through.
I got a funky idea.
Because with Atlanta, you know, they won the division and they only won, 88 games, even though it's a crappy division, but still.
You know what I kind of like was in the it really plays more in the wild card games, but you could apply the idea here is where the best remaining teams – get to pick their opponents. Why not do something like that? So if eight teams, you know, like in the NHL, you know, the top four teams get to pick in order the opponent. So really the fourth team doesn't really get to pick their opponent. But yeah, if you finish with the best record, why not forget the seeding? Why not just tell, hey, I want you. Now, the Yankees specifically picked the Red Sox they said, I want you in, you know, they lined their season up to say, we want to play the Red Sox, and they blew it. But look, I think that's I got to take a step back. If I was a Red Sox fan, I would say, yeah, you wanted us, you got us. And I think that just builds the tension of the games. And I think that's what you got to do. You have to find some way to manufacture these emotions. And if you're – no matter what, that means literally every single series except for the final one on each side in the World Series, you can immediately point at the guys on the other side of the field and say either, hey, we wanted you because we know we can beat you, or these guys think they can beat us because they picked us. I love that angle of it, especially when you're looking at your top-tier teams. Not sure you're going to really fire up those bottom seeds. So I don't think that really addresses what either of you guys were suggesting, but I think it's just I love applying the idea of some schoolyard, like, feistiness.
Yeah.
Well, In your proposal, Dave, I think in this particular postseason, I think we'd still end up with the same matchups that we had, because the Dodgers Dodgers and Giants were always going to want to face each other as soon as they could, because there's bad beef there. Same as the Yankees and the Red Sox, we're always going to pick each other to face off and get that out of the way. But I could, like Tampa, if you're somebody like Tampa who doesn't have a history against anybody because they were irrelevant for 90% of their history until recently. Like, they would be the team that
even
like,
when they won.
Okay. Right. Even when they won, they'd be like, okay, what's my path of least resistance to get through here? So like, there's something to that, which it would effectively work as a reseeding, but it also like, maybe if they decide that they really hate somebody, if we were to go back and let's rearrange and like run with a hypothetical here where the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Orioles all make the playoffs. So the Orioles and the Blue Jays basically replace the Red Sox and the Rays. Obviously this will never happen. Hey, let me have my tender moment here.
Right.
I could totally see it being where the Orioles would be like, we want the Blue Jays first, and then we want the Yankees, and we're going to take both of you out on our way through the American League because there's, like, bad blood between these franchises.
Right.
Oh, that is awesome. I love it. Lou, I got a quick question for you, buddy. You know, I think you said you're from New Jersey. Who are you a biggest fan of right now? Are you a Yankee fan or a Mets fan or something else?
Yankees since 74.
Yeah. All right, so – Lou, if you came into the postseason every season with this, like, you know, you get to pick your opponent, and the Yankees come in as the one seed, and every year it doesn't even matter where the Red Sox are, would you want to say, hey, give me the Red Sox right away?
Well, I really hate the Red Sox, but they are our chief rival, so I think we will actually try to stick it to them because, you know,
right.
I can't stand them.
So it's ironic because that is the complete opposite of what we've all been talking about, which is seeing the Giants and the Dodgers, hypothetically, in the best of seven, game seven. So
right.
I think then you have to make the narrative, your opening rounds really matter. Like if you look at any other sport, like basketball, for instance, a one doesn't beat an eight, or an eight doesn't beat a one. You know, hockey, an eight doesn't beat a one. Sure, it happens once.
Well,
it
has been done,
and,
actually.
I know it happens. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to – I don't want to make it like it's a complete hardline fact. It's not like, you know, like a 16 beating a one in the NCAA tournament. It's more like a 15 beating a two, but in professional terms.
Right.
But – I think then you're going to have to build the narrative that, hey, this opening round series, it's our guys versus your guys. And then the second round, you actually might even have a little bit of a fall off from the first round to the second round. But as you progress through, then you have the better teams advancing. So I don't know. I think that's the complete opposite of what we said in having the two best teams facing each other in the LCSs. It's just you're forcing the rivalry in the beginning, but I don't hate it. I don't know. Maybe because I came up with it.
Yeah. Maybe. I
get
it.
I do.
Hey,
like
listen, Lou. I appreciate you.
A little bit of episode.
I just want to say, Lou, I appreciate you calling in, dude. Give us a shout anytime. Enjoy the game, and for anybody who's curious out there, what is it? You got a last point?
Well, I have a show of my own, actually, that, you know, if you're interested in. The show
Go ahead.
Is Saturday nights, 5 to 7 p.m. Are you an East Coast?
Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
Dave is East
okay,
Coast.
So
I am Central Time.
Okay, so it's 5 to 7 for us, 4 to 6 for you, called the Enhanced Sports Show. We handle everything in the world of sports. Well, almost everything. We will be covering, of course, the league championships in both leagues. We'll be doing college and pro football predictions. We'll have a wrap up of the Wilder Fury this week as well. It's called the Enhanced Sports Show. The number to call is 512-543-4662. I'll repeat it again, 512-543-4662. No pin codes or anything like that, or press the pound button. Just dial it straight through, and I'll get you in.
We love to hear it, Lou. Hey, do us a favor. You tweet us, we'll tweet you.
What do
you
want?
Sounds good.
What do you want, though?
Anything. Give us your best.
I mean, are you a Twitter? Are you a Facebook? I mean, that.
We're everything. Facebook, Twitter. We're on www.sportscitychefs.com. The Facebook and Twitter are Sports City Chefs.
www. Sports Chefs, you said, right?
Sport City Chefs.
Sport City Chefs.
You got it.
I don't trust Twitter. Sorry.
That's all right. Hey, listen, check us out. We'll check you out, and thanks for giving us a call. Now, Nate, I just want to take a quick moment right now. We're in between innings here in this Dodgers tilt here. You very vehemently, before we started the show, made your rooting interests known that you're rooting for the Giants in this one, and I'm rooting for the Dodgers. Now, I'm partially rooting for the Dodgers because, you know, if you so much as a touch of New York City in you, I'm always going to root for the city. But why are you rooting for the Giants other than the colors? Is there just kind of the draw to the group of guys out there? Is you a Buster Posey fan? I mean, one thing I will say, I love the Chris Bryant story.
The Chris Bryant story is part of it. I love the fact that I have a kid, you know, I love rooting for a guy that was playing across the street from me, even though I'm not a Cub fan. There are Cub players that I like to follow. The Giants have one of the starting pitchers for the Giants is a former Oriole draft pick, Kevin Gausman. I love the fact that he's out there having success now where he's at. But mostly I'm pulling for the Giants because my dad is a lifelong Giants fan. My dad used to tell me stories that when he was a kid, he grew up in central Pennsylvania, and my grandfather used to take him and his brothers to one baseball game a year because this was back before, you know, you could just watch every game on TV or, you know, the
right.
of MLB TV and all that good stuff, even though MLB TV just blacked me out, so I can't actually watch this game anyway. But it just so happened that the game that he always seemed to go to down in Philadelphia against the Phillies was the Giants. And he used to watch Willie McCovey hit home runs out of Shive Park in Philadelphia. And since then, he's been a lifelong Giants fan. Always grew up. Growing up, the teams were either Baltimore or Philadelphia where I was from. I jumped on with Baltimore, but my dad just maintained a lifelong Giants fandom. So I'm rooting for this. I'm rooting for these guys because I want to see my dad. I want to see my dad's team win, even though they've had their fair share of success recently. And I'll add on to this, so one of my friends from college, he moved out to San Francisco after college, and I like when he gets to celebrate his team's winning too, as long as it's, you know, not at the expense of my boys.
Yeah, no, listen, I can't relate because my dad's a Red Sox fan. My dad's awesome. He's the reason I'm paying attention to baseball and I'm doing the baseball show, but I don't root for his baseball success at all in any way, shape, or form. I like the guy to be happy. I don't want the rest of the Boston sports fans to be happy. I want me to be happy. Me. Now, you know, I'm looking at the lineups today, right? And I have to admit, I almost forget in a way that, you know, Longoria is at the bottom of the Giants lineup. I do like that they've got him batting in front of the pitcher. Just, you know, that's one of those things where you get to the bottom of your lineup and You're like, oh, hey, listen, at least he knows what he's doing.
Right.
No, what I mean, sometimes you get to the bottom of these lineups and you're like, didn't he sit behind me on the bus in high school? But you go down the Dodgers lineup, and I'm going to read the lineup for you. You've got in the Dodgers lineup, you've got Mookie Betts, then Seager, then Trey Turner, then Will Smith, batting cleanup, which is always wild to see a catcher batting cleanup. Then you have Justin Turner, you got Lux, and then Bellinger, Taylor, and then your pitcher in Knebel. So I want to just rehash those bottom three, or you know, if you're throwing a perfect game, the last three guys you'd face up. You've got Bellinger, Taylor, and Knebel. So forget the pitcher. When you're telling me Bellinger and Taylor are the guys hitting ahead of Mookie Betts, I think that's just one of those, you know, roundabout lineups that no matter what you put up against it, they're just going to do something. As opposed to if you look at the Giants lineup, you know, you've got Buster Posey hitting third and Brandon Crawford hitting fourth with Chris Bryant protecting your cleanup. And then you have Yastrzemski, Flores, and Longoria. Now, don't get me wrong, Will Flores and even Longoria are very good players. But I don't think that bottom of the lineup quite is Cody Bellinger and Taylor. Chris Taylor's really had one one big swing in his career, and it's quite a swing that
true.
Stands out. And if they don't advance here, I think that's just one of those things that will get forgotten, like Kevin Durant's heroics in, you know, last year's playoffs. It would have been all-time stuff if he managed to close the deal, but he didn't. And we've seen, you know, it's happened, you know, all the time. You'll see heroic, you know, I'm putting in air quotes here, heroic performances. But if you don't win, what difference does it make? That's a question I have for you, Nate. When you look at this matchup, or really even, you know, the remaining teams between the Braves, and then you've got the Red Sox and the Astros or whoever they are over on the other side. Who do you expect? Are there any individuals on the field that you expect to just take over that you would say, all right, I'm glad this guy's on my team? I mean, I feel like the obvious answer in the AL is, you know, honestly, Altuve. He's the guy you look at and you say, that's who I'm going to ride to the World Series.
I think you picked the right guy on Houston. I think it's definitely Altuve. The Red Sox, you know, I'm going to tune in. I'm probably going to tune in a game or two of the Red Sox-Astros series only because I really just want to watch Rafael Devers play third base. That never gets old for me. It brings so much joy and happiness to my heart to just watch him boot a routine grounder or watch him throw the ball into the third row for no reason whatsoever. But in the National League, you got Mookie Betts on the Dodgers.
See, that's the thing with the Dodgers. It's like, Dodgers. How do you pick a guy?
I think Betts is really the Dodgers guy. On the Giants, it's got to be Buster Posey. I don't think there's anybody besides Buster Posey. Although I did, while you were running down the Giants lineup, you reminded me of another guy. You know, I said I was rooting for the Giants in part because of Kevin Gausman, but there's another former longtime Oriole farmhand on their lineup in Yastrzemski. Mike Yastrzemski spent forever in the Oriole system. We let him go because we didn't think that he would have a spot in our future outfield, and now we just have a whole bunch of egg on our face because he's done nothing but succeed with the Giants. But you like to see guys like that, like, succeed when they land in their new home. He's built himself a nice little career out there. But yeah, as far as takeover, it's got to be Posey. I guess the Dodgers, it's pick your poison. Who's gonna be it tonight? Freddie Freeman on the Braves.
Yeah, Freddie Freeman on the Braves.
And then I guess, is it JD Martinez for Boston? Maybe.
That's kind of what I was curious to get your opinion on was, who would it be for Boston? I mean, the Red Sox, right, if you look at their season, right, you know, they had Devers led them in hits, for the season he led them in home runs, led them in ribbies. You know, in terms of batting average, he was, I think, in the top five on the team. I don't remember. I looked it up earlier. But he was kind of the Red Sox offense with only Martin, with JD, like, behind him. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think JD was out at the beginning of the season for a portion. So that hurt some of the numbers. But overall, you know, you say I enjoy watching Devers boot a ball over a third, and I do as well. But it's one of those ones where it's like, yeah, but the cost, it's like Thanos, you know, at what cost? it's the fact that he'll boot a ball and maybe cost a run, but he'll hit like a two-run homer in the next inning, and I hate it when that happens. You know, growing up on SportsCenter, they would always say, oh, how often do you see a guy make a great play and then hit a home run at the beginning of the next inning? Nowadays, it feels like, all right, who's going to make a terrible error, give up a run, but then, you know, hit a two-run homer the next inning? And I feel like that's something analytics has given us is, you know, you're not looking for the smooth outfield. You know, Andrew Jones ain't diving through the sky to save your defense. So that's why I think teams like the Red Sox will put up with what Devers will give you. But you know what? The question I asked was who are you putting you know your franchises back on? And I guess that is not the worst answer. So very interesting stuff. Now, Nate, I don't think you and I had a chance to really eulogize the season or anything like that, or give our final opinions on the AL or NL MVPs. And who you think it should be. I want to start with the division that you and I know and love, the AL. So tell me if I'm wrong. I believe both of us largely thought that it was either going to be Vlad or Ohtani as your MVP. And I wasn't sure, Nate, do you have any closure to that in your head? I mean, Salvador Perez actually really made a solid run at the end, but you know, what do you think? Is there anybody that you would vote for MVP at this point? Because we don't know how that's going to go.
I mean, do you want me to make a really pedantic argument about what is value to a team? Because if you want me to go down that end, I can go Cedric Mullins and
right,
you just go real homer on it.
then give me fine. Then give me the guy you think who is the most important player and who is the most valuable player, or the best player and the most, I don't know, whatever. We got a lot of time. Tell me what you think.
I think Shohei Ohtani is the MVP because even though he ended up playing on a losing team, he was arguably their best pitcher. He was also outside when Mike Trout was hurt, he was their best offensive player, and he was really the reason why you would even watch an Angels game. So I think there's no better way to define value than that. If I was a baseball writer, a member of the Baseball Writers Association, and had a vote, I'd probably vote Ohtani 1, Vlad 2, Salvador Perez 3, and then I'd probably put Cedric Mullins 4, just because Cedric Mullins had an incredible season. For what he, like, everything he did defensively, offensively for the Orioles, yeah, he did it on the worst team in baseball this year, but he also, like, he was an all-star. I don't remember if he actually started the all-star game. Probably didn't, because there's no way he got the votes to be the starter, but he was on the all-star roster, featured in the game. Everything about his season screams MVP caliber, but he plays on the worst team, so you're not going to give him the votes for it. But I think he deserves top 10 votes. Is it going to get him an award? No. But he was one of the most important cogs to the worst team in baseball.
See, here's the problem with Cedric Mullins is he plays baseball the right way, where he I've got my stat head account up. He finished fourth in hits in the AL, and batting average-wise, he finished, you know, with a .291 average, which was, you know, still top 20.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, some of his other stats are rather uninspiring. I mean, you know, runs, he finished 20th, hits, he did finish 4th, doubles 5th, triples 10th, or 9th, I'm sorry. But then you get to things like ribbies. Well, it's tough.
He's our leadoff guy. He can't really get ribbies.
Yeah, no, and that's not fair. I mean, 59 ribbies is not a lot, but I get your point. I think he's a prisoner of the team he's on somewhat, and I'm trying to devalue him. Actually, I guess that's literally what I'm trying to value him. So I take that back. You know. It's so interesting in a non-Mike Trout. It felt like coming into the season, it was like, all right, so how's Mike Trout going to win the MVP this year or something like that? But really, you know, in a lot of ways, I think Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero sort of started the season with this whole 1-2 punch of, wow, what can this team be? And then Vlad Guerrero clearly separated himself, finishing tied for the AL lead in a home run. So I would go a little bit differently. I think I would give Vlad my number one vote, partially because he kept the team in there. I know the last parting conversation we had about it, I said if the Jays made it in, then I would say Vlad, but otherwise Shohei. And I'm going to go back on that. I'm going to say it should be Vlad and then Shohei. And I want to believe both of these guys will do it again and again and again. But my thought is I want to see a season where Vlad has is number two out there. And I want to see a season where Ohtani and Trout are on the same team. And I know that's a bit of a cop out, but I'd love to see how they all do with a compliment in their lineup. And also, who's the Batman and who's the Robin, right? In a purely offensive standpoint, Nate, Trout still has to be the number one, right?
Yeah, just Ohtani did things that nobody saw in baseball since the 1920s, so you got to give – like, you give him his due this year. I don't know I don't know how much charm that carries into next year and beyond that. I would hope that it would carry enough charm, but if Trout comes back and Trout does Mike Trout things, then, yeah, Trout gets to maintain the American League MVP award, which is basically – one day I imagine that we will see the MVP award renamed after Mike Trout, because why wouldn't we? He is just like the best player in baseball. He always is the best player in baseball. Although I do love that we have guys like Vlad Guerrero Jr. now and Shohei Ohtani who are jumping up and pushing for that title and be like, look, Mike, you're still the best and you're probably going to win the award, but you're going to have to earn it at least. You can't just, roll the ball out there. You can't just lace up your spikes and go win it now. You have to actually earn this and actually put up MVP numbers, which I fully expect Mike Trout to do every single year.
Now, Nate, do you think there's a comparable argument to a guy like LeBron James, where LeBron could wake up any one of those seasons in his prime, and if he was an MVP, it's like, oh, weird. He was an MVP that year. I mean, I feel like I could just go look and almost expect to see, 10 straight years of LeBron as MVP. And the same thing would go for Jordan. Now, here's the thing with Michael Jordan in that argument is Michael Jordan took those middle 2 years off, and those middle 2 years he took off. Hakeem Olajuwon was really the guy who stepped up. But then there was also some other guys like, Charles Barkley, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on name, Stockton, Malone, whatever. You have the same thing happening right now. Now, obviously, Trout didn't step away or anything, like he got hurt. But when you take the literal, we're seeing a Mount Rushmore player right now. I mean, I think that's absolutely the trajectory you go on. But if you took, Ted Williams away from the game for, what? Oh, are you thinking of
it? Yeah, I mean, if he continues to dominate as a pitcher and as a hitter, like, maybe he does surpass Trout.
Part of it, Nate, for me, is I need to see it for at least, not just one iteration of a roster. I need to see it through multiple iterations of the roster. Mike Trout has consistently been the best player with absolutely nothing around him. And in some ways, I'm going to start to take, and other people will start to take Ohtani's success away from Trout. And I think that's fair, and I think that's valid, because we've already seen it. We've already seen the Mike Trout show without Ohtani. Now I need to see the team do better with Trout and Ohtani, and unfortunately that's going to fall on Trout. Now,
yeah,
with the Blue Jays, I'm not going to put Vlad in any Mount Rushmore conversations or anything like that, but you know, in his first couple seasons, or really his first year in some of action, he's absolutely cemented himself as not just a great player, but he's also electric. He's fun to watch. I think that's something I've been trying to say, but I haven't said it well, is, you know, going back to actually when we had Lou calling in, is what I've been thinking of this very actively over the last couple of weeks is how do you take the day-to-day emotions, the things that get people excited, that get people tweeting and you know, oh gosh, Nate, there was the steal of home earlier in the playoffs. I mean, a Rosarena stole home. It was just ridiculous. But that's the thing that gets people going. So how do you put yourself in situations where base running matters? How do you put yourself in situations where you get excited when, a Vlad Guerrero Jr. steps up to the plate? You know, the best example I think I've seen in my lifetime, you know, cross sport, is Michael Vick on offense. When it was Michael Vick on offense in the mid-early 2000s, you know, you would drive – listen, if you were at a party and or something like that, you would drop what you were doing when Michael – like if you were in the kitchen grabbing a beer – you forget the beer for a minute. You know, you got to watch Mike Vick with the ball. And I think baseball's had some of that in my lifetime, Nate, and I think, yours too, especially in the home run chase. If Barry Bonds or Sammy Sosa was up in 98, you dropped what you were doing.
Absolutely.
I think we're close, Nate, that Shohei can be that guy. And Shohei is going to put eyes on the Angels, and maybe that will help elevate Trout's public status. But I think somehow Vlad Guerrero's already done it. Like, going back to the Home Run Derby, I think the Home Run Derby highlighted a lot of really fun personalities. So, I shouldn't take it into account. I know I shouldn't, but that plays into why I'm going to say Vlad over Shohei, because he does it for me. And it's not like, I feel like I have to defend why I'm not saying Ohtani. That's probably why I'm so beating this dead horse, because it just feels wrong. Because yeah, Ohtani does hits and throws and does both better than pretty much anybody else on the entire planet. So what about the NL side, Nate?
My NL MVP, crap, you know. It's hard now because with the Cardinals being eliminated from the playoffs, I really wanted to go Goldschmidt, actually.
No.
Because like the way that the Cards just made that charge to get into the playoffs and winning, what was it, 17 in a row and like 18
or
20 at one point. And Goldschmidt just kept being Goldschmidt. So I want to put him in that position. You could also Trey Turner just absolutely crushing it.
Yeah, I was thinking Trey Turner.
Both
really
with the Nationals and the Dodgers.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
hey, Nate, can I just stop you real quick?
Yes.
So you brought up the Cardinals. What's your reaction on them firing Mike Schilt? What the hell?
This is one of the reasons why I hate the Cardinals, because they have this like expectation of, oh, we're the best. Any fan base that calls themselves the best fans in baseball that immediately should get every one of their fans punched in the face. Now, hypothetically, not literally, please, I am not advocating violence against anybody at all. Do not go and punch a Cardinals fan in the face. Don't do it. Well, that's your statement, not mine. But like the fan base that calls themselves the best fans in baseball, and then they just have this like expectation of, oh, well, we're in the playoffs every year. We should be in the World Series and winning World Series every year. Screw you guys. You know, last week we went around and around with with TP when he called in and co-hosted the show with us, and we went all around about how the Yankee fans are so spoiled, and you were actually the one saying how Yankee fans are spoiled. That's how I feel about Cardinal fans too, and I almost feel that way about them more than I do about Yankee fans. And the fact that they would fire their manager when he's been nothing but successful, I hate it. I hate it. I have no time for them right now.
What are you expecting them to improve to? I don't understand.
Right. Like, well, you're okay. So you fire him and you're bringing somebody else. What's the next guy supposed to do? When the division, obviously, like you expect them to go out and beat the Brewers to win the division. They were right there. They made that division interesting. It took the Brewers until the last week to clinch the division. Where is your improvement here?
Yeah, no, it's a really curious thing, especially because I felt like, you know, I don't want to overvalue that 17-game winning streak, but I mean, when you have a guy like a Nolan Arenado and a Paul Goldschmidt, you know, who's 33 and 30 respectively, which by the way, really quickly, I did not realize this, but Goldschmidt played in 158 games and Arenado played in 157 games. Wow. That is unheard of. That is now not one player played in 162. Austin Riley and Dansby Swanson for Atlanta played in the most at 160. So there's an interesting stat, but you know, I don't agree with you.
I mean,
the
Orioles fan is unimpressed, but
I do like the Trey Turner nod. I think Freddie Freeman really had a lot to say with how the season went, and so sad that we can't have this conversation about Tatis though. I wanted it to be his year so badly. It's just one of those things that just kind of sucks. And really, there's a part of the year where it seemed like a guy like a Bryce Harper was going to make a run at it. But, you know, since I asked the question, I'll give kind of my opinion. I'm going to go Freeman and then Turner. I think just keeping... There's something I don't like about picking a guy to win MVP who is traded midseason. And it's probably, in a way, maybe it's more impressive sustaining after you completely upend your life. I mean, you know, for all of us, certainly myself included, you know, when a guy gets traded, it's like, oh, now he's changed his jersey. But, you know, the guy's moving. If you've got kids, sometimes your kids are changing schools. You have to buy and sell a house. It's like a whole thing. You know, you're literally moving cities. You're uprooting your whole life. Or if you choose not to bring the family, then you're just living away from your family. That's a lot, man. And I think that's really undervalued with what these guys go through. But now that I've just spent a minute there talking about how difficult it is to be traded, I gotta say I like the Freeman thing. So, Nate, as has happened to us nearly every week we've done this, we're up against the clock. You know, right now it's still 0-0. We're at the top of the third. Dodgers and Giants in this winner take all. Give me how you think the rest of this game will play out, and based on that, how that team will fare against Atlanta, and how you think. And who you think we'll see in the World Series. We can talk more about the World Series next week, but give us some final thoughts on this last DS and then the two CSs.
My buddy out in San Francisco assures me that Brandon Webb is the best pitcher in baseball that nobody is talking about. So I'm going to ride his advice and I'm going to ride his hype and say the Giants are going to bring this home They're not going to lose on the night where their best pitcher is rolling. And then I think the Giants just keep rolling right on through Atlanta, and it'll be a Houston, San Francisco. We'll get a Dusty Baker World Series, and I can just bite my own tongue. A lot of orange. But while I'm on the subject of the – while I bring up the Houston Astros, I want to give one parting shot because there was a little bit of a mini rant that I wanted to go on, and the show got away from us, and we didn't get to do it. To all the White Sox fans and all the Tony La Russa lovers out there, crawl back in the hole and save me all of your tears. Dave, I don't know if you saw it, but the there was a White Sox reliever, Ryan Terpstra?
Yep, I saw this.
Okay. We all know about the Houston – we talked about it earlier in the show, the Houston Astros cheating scandal from a couple years ago. He came out and accused the Astros of cheating even more this year because they came out to Chicago in game three, and even though they put up six runs, they weren't having as – they lost game three, but they still won – they put up six runs in a game that they lost, and somehow that was evidence enough for this White Sox reliever to claim that the Astros were still cheating when they were at home. Cry me a river, dude. And then the White Sox turn around and just get their head handed to them in game four to get eliminated. And Tony La Russa decides to lose his mind over an unintentional hit by pitch on Jose Abreu and accuse the Astros of being low class. No, Tony, you are low class. Get out of here. Crawl back under the south side hole. We'll see you next year. Go find happy hour. It started about 4 hours ago. Get out of here, Tony.
Yeah, no, it did seem a little sour grapes the way the White Sox whimpered out of the playoffs. We lost. You must be cheating. I felt like how it came off, which is just the epitome of sore loser. I hate to say it, and we talked about it earlier. I think I personally am rooting for the Astros rather than the Red Sox. And part of that to me is like, okay, you know what? I hate it, but we did just sort of move on from the whole thing. Let's all just move on. And yeah, that's that. But Nate, a couple minutes left. Let's hear you say your last words, and then I'll say my last words, and then we'll reconvene next week.
All right, everybody, every week, this is a pleasure. It's a little bittersweet that we are coming to the end of the season, postseason, regular season, and we are putting the baseball buffet temporarily to rest. It's been great talking baseball with everybody. Please check out the website, sportscitychefs.com. There's all kind of great football stuff up there. We've got more college football coming up. We've got hockey season just started. Game two, game three, depending on who you're a fan of. Sports City Chefs, we've got you covered on all sports all the time. Check us out on the website. Check us out Facebook, Twitter, any social media. And as always, tune into every show. We've got you covered every day of the week.
Yeah, Nate, it has been an absolute blast, and it's been a pleasure. It's sad to see this wind down. And you know, in the back of my head, I didn't tell you this, but I've been thinking of this as season one of the Baseball Buffet, just like any, like The Office or Schitt's Creek. Sometimes season one, there's a lot of feeling it out, but I think we've had a lot of fun. But let me tell you, we've got a lot more fun stuff coming. Check out all the chefs on www.sportscitychefs.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you are, we'll be there. Even if Lou's not there, we'll still be there. I will be, after the end of the baseball season, I'll be doing something called the Crossover Cafe with some of our other chefs, really focusing on basketball. But I'm also doing some other work, kind of looking at New York sports as a whole, Jets, Giants, Mets, Yankees. But just check out everything, literally everything. And if you want, get some merch. We got some really cool merch on there. You can even get your Sports City Chefs mask, hats, whatever. But I said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very good evening.
Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs. Kaboom. Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs. attention, tune in, we on a set again. Sports City, Chef. Yeah. Cabby. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.